Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's International Face Your Fears Day. Tony, what are your biggest fears?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Spiders, snakes, getting hugged by Levitard.
Yeah.
This gets so wet.
Yeah,
you have to carry towels with you.
Just leave you a little sweaty.
No.
Could, it really could.
Yeah, don't want that. I mean, even on cold days, he's liquid. Really? He's liquid. It's like diving into a pool. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Raiders beat the Packers. Connor Bedard makes his NHL debut. And Jeff Saturday joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with last night's baseball. The Atlanta Braves came back from 4 runs down and beat Philadelphia in a tense, exciting game that ended spectacularly on a defensive play. And Arizona again rolled over the Dodgers, getting 3 runs in the first inning off another disappointing Dodgers starter. Wilbon, what was the bigger deal, Braves win or Dodgers lose?
Tony, I have flip-flopped back and forth since, you know, we started before the show posing this question. I go back and forth every time I hear it. Because the Braves, we just saw the Braves lose to the Phillies last year when it was 1-1.
Right.
They're not coming back at Philadelphia to win the next 2 games and then get back to Atlanta. No, down 0-2, they're going to lose. So I say, well, that's got to be the most important because they're still in the series now. It changed the whole thing. That kid Harris with that play in center field, he went straight King Griffey Jr. That was unbelievable, scream out loud time, certainly where I was watching the game. But, Tony, watching the Dodgers, I don't think the Dodgers have any real chance of coming back in this series down 0-2 because of the starting pitching, which we've chronicled all year. Started talking about it, you know, middle of May. Oh, the Dodgers, they haven't been this bad 6 weeks into a season with their starting pitching since. And the answer was Brooklyn or something.
Yep.
So I don't see the Dodgers coming back to win this series against the Diamondbacks. I guess then, as I consider this again, I'm going to say the most important result was the Dodgers losing. They were down 3-0 before they got to the plate, Tone. Before they got to bat, they're down in these games.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to say it's the Braves because now we have a series, and now we finally have a team that won 100 or more games getting 1 win in the playoffs. Mike, I watched that too. I have never seen a game end like that.
Wow.
I've never seen that. On that particular defensive play where the guy makes a great catch in right center field, and then there's a throw, a cutoff throw, and then a throw to first base, as we like to say when we're scoring, the old 8-5-3. We've never seen anything like that. And I loved it, and it was a great play. Michael Harris made a great defensive play, and Austin Riley, who started out on third base because he's the third baseman, ends up in right field, made a great throw to first. And you know what? Bryce Harper made a great sprint to get back and not be doubled up. I know a lot of people are going to find fault with Harper. I can understand that.
There's no fault.
His ego is such that he wanted to be the tying run, and he was beyond second base. But you know what? I think he has a healthy baseball ego. I'm okay with that. Yeah. And the Phillies, they didn't take advantage of a real good start by Zach Wheeler, 10 strikeouts and 3 hits. They should have won that game. But at least we have a series. I'll be very brief on the Dodgers. They picked a terrible time not to hit. Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman are one for 13 in this series.
Yeah.
1 for 13, and they're 2 for 12, the whole team, runners in scoring position. They look bad.
The most important play, maybe in the whole postseason, maybe Bryce Harper. Tony, when that ball leaves the bat, you got to think two of three possibilities. It's over the fence, and it won't matter because I'm going to score, and we're going to be a game.
Or
we're
it's
gonna
a
be
double.
Ahead. Or it's going to be off the fence, and I better score the tying run. And so
agreed.
I don't blame him at all. The guy makes an all-time catch and then has the presence of mind to... Willie Mays. Did it not make you think momentarily of your childhood hero, Willie Mays?
No, but you can't go by me. But it was Mike, again, I've never seen a game end on something like
amazing.
That. And it
amazing.
Was great. It was great. Great.
Let's move to the NFL. Well, the Raiders edged the Packers last night. Jordan Love threw 3 picks. Including one in the end zone with just 44 seconds left. And while the Raiders won, Jimmy Garoppolo and the Vegas offense has yet to score 20 points in the game all season. Tony, should either of these squads feel good about its quarterback solution right now?
I can't imagine Green Bay feels good right now. Jordan Love is completing 55.6% of his passes. That's all. That's 34th among quarterbacks. Last night he threw 30 times. He got 182 yards. At the moment, his rating is 28th in the NFL, 28th, and far worse last night. He had the three interceptions. He's had back-to-back games of multiple interceptions. Aaron Rodgers never had that in all those years at Green Bay. So if you say that Jordan Love is the next logical person in line from Favre and Rodgers, right now you would sound stupid.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo, as we see in commercials, is very handsome. And he has a great record as a starter in San Francisco. It's 38-17. But, Mike, you have to ask yourself, is that Garoppolo or is that the 49ers? It's the same question you asked about Jared Goff when he was with the Rams. Jared Goff now proving himself for the Lions. I don't really know about Garoppolo. They have not scored 20 in any game so far. He's got 6 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And he's ranked 24th in the league,
judgment,
which is what we call Jordan Loveland.
His judgment is so dreadful. Look, nice breakdown by you. Very nice
Thank
breakdown.
You
must have consulted or had breakfast with Dan Orlovsky this morning. I don't care to get that
no
deep into it.
No drinks last night.
I don't care to get that deep into it. These two teams are irrelevant. They are. They're historically great teams. Fine. They're irrelevant. They're inconsequential. They stink. Both these teams, their offenses are irrelevant. The quarterbacks are not relevant. Garoppolo has commercials. That makes he's a Chicago boy. You know I want him to be good. He's not any good. You said to me about 2 years ago, oh, don't you want Garoppolo to come home and play for the Bears? And I told you no. Because he throws more near picks than anybody I've ever seen. It was the 49ers defense and their structure that kept him with that winning record, Tony. That was a game in which, thank God, there was great baseball on last night because I had it on in a corner in my TV setup, and it was not relevant at all.
Don't look now, but the NHL season just opened a few minutes ago, which is why we were exiled to ESPN2 today. There's a triple header tonight. Nashville is playing Tampa Bay right now, two traditional cold weather hockey cities. The late game is Seattle at Las Vegas, a playoff team visiting last year's defending champion. And the feature game, the 8 p.m. start, is Chicago at Pittsburgh. So people can see Sidney Crosby and your boy Connor Bedard in his first NHL game. Wilbon, Crosby and Bedard, big deal, little deal, or no deal for the NHL?
No deal. No deal. Because Sidney Crosby's 35 years old and Pittsburgh's loading up to try to win or have a really shot, a really good chance at winning, you know, this year or next year. I mean, Sidney Crosby's had lots of injuries and concussions. He's not playing until he's 45. He's not Tom Brady. He's going to play a couple more years and go straight to the Hall of Fame, which is where he belongs. Connor Bedard's 18. By the time the Blackhawks are any good to challenge and be great, hopefully again like they were in 2010, 13, and 15 with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, Sidney Crosby will be gone. So if they wanted to sort of pit two guys against each other who may be something in 3 or 4 or 5 years, they should have done the Connors, Connor Bedard and Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Because that works, and the Blackhawks are in the Western Conference. That could have worked. Crosby, it was a nice interview, by the way, they had with each other, a conversation, I should call it. But no, it doesn't. No, it's no deal.
I'm glad that I do this show with you because you could not be more wrong. This is a really big deal for the NHL because they are putting their best players out there for the public to see on opening night. I mean, Sidney Crosby has been the best all-around player in the NHL for the last 15 years. He is the gold standard there. And Connor Bedard may be the face of the league in an upcoming year or two. I understand what you're saying about Connor McDavid, but I believe that Connor Bedard said publicly that Sidney Crosby is his idol.
Yes.
I think this is a great matchup from the marketing people, and I think you should say, you're right, the marketing people have done a great job.
And I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch it, and you have no skin in the game. And one of us knows that Connor Bedard, by the time Connor Bedard becomes important, Sidney Crosby will be in a walker.
The only thing that could be better is if they brought out 62-year-old Wayne Gretzky to play in a game with Connor Bedard. Let's take a break. Coming up, how can teams stop the tush push? We're going to ask Jeff Saturday.
We'll also ask him, what's up with the Patriots?
No. The marketers know what they're doing. They want people to see these players.
It's just hype.
Yes, you're a grouch.
It's junk. It's junk.
No, it's eye candy.
Put him out there against
McDavid.
It is eye candy. Put him against McDavid, the Connors.
Pardon the interruption. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To pardon the interruption, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer, part of Happy Hour.
Let's get back into the NFL with our new best friend, ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday. This first one is a long question. The Eagles have been extraordinarily successful with that thing they call the tush push, although I have heard it as the brotherly shove, which I think is an even better term.
Like the brotherly shove, yeah.
Yes. You played center. If somebody on a defense came to you and said, help us out, how can we stop this? What would you tell them?
You can't stop it. You can't stop. Here's what everybody understands. It is a well-designed, but a even better executed football play. If you look at the linemen and the timing of when the ball is snapped and the surge of that offensive line coming off simultaneously, and they're all, you know, they're face scraping, like their face masks are coming right off of the turf. And then you have a quarterback back there who I think squats 700 pounds, some kind of crazy number. So Hurts is a huge component of this as well. So I have seen a number of teams try to copy this and mimic it and have no success or very little. This play is 90% success rate. It is a fantastic play. The only way you really stop it, you hope that there's kind of a fumble snap, maybe try to hit the center as hard as you can underneath so that they bobble the snap, because that's one of the hardest things to do in a QB sneak, because the quarterback has to ride kind of with his hands as you're surging forward. So that would be the way, right? Try to get his legs, the center's legs lifted up and kind of hit and Hurts, but very difficult to stop. And listen, give credit where credit is due. It's a great and a well-executed football play.
Jeff, speaking of the center, the Eagles center, Jason Kelce, he got heated, or at least animated, with Nick Sirianni over the team's red zone issues. All right, you know the position. Do centers, is that part of their leadership role? Is that something you see all that often? We think of the quarterback, but Kelce wasn't waiting around for Hurts to do this.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Listen, there's a very famous clip of Peyton Manning and I having a significant discussion on the sideline about red zone play. And listen, as a center, we know we get down there. It's tough sledding down there. You know what I mean, Michael? Like there ain't nothing easy about that. And you want pay dirt. You ain't trying to kick field goals. And I think he understood, right? Like the frustration of what play calls are we? Is the run to pass ratio right? We know usually when you get down there, you're pretty familiar with what that defense is going to give you, right? Like what style defense they're going to give you, how they're going to try to play it. So you want to take advantage of it. But execution is at a priority. Everything happens faster down there. But I love it. And here's the thing about Sirianni. He likes that and respects that from Jason Kelce. So he would expect nothing less. And neither would the rest of those guys on that football team. They know what type of leader this guy is. This guy ain't complaining about every call, right? He's not up there. He's not always throwing some bellyache thing because something's not going his way. But when it matters and he says something, people listen. That's the part you respect most.
We're going to go from a place where things are going very well, Philadelphia, to not so much New England. You faced Bill Belichick a lot of times in your career. And as you watch the Patriots now, let's pull Tom Brady out of the discussion for this purpose. You're watching the Patriots now versus all the Belichick teams you played against, what do you see?
I see roster deficiency. I mean, listen, I'll be real with you. When we played, Tom Brady was a huge part of it, but their defense was freaking loaded. I mean, Hall of Famers, in my opinion, all on that side of the ball, right? And they played smart. They played efficient. But when you flip that over and go offensively, Brady found ways to have explosive plays. That's what they're missing in New England. And this is Mac Jones' third offensive coordinator in 3 years. McDaniels, they start to make the playoffs, and then all of a sudden he gets a defensive coordinator slash special teams guy or two of them splitting it. We know that didn't turn out well, and now you got Bill O'Brien, which is going to take time. But when you look at this football team, what scares you? Like, you can't look at a receiving core and go, I'm afraid of any of these guys. They let Jacoby Myers go, who I think could have been a help there. And if your tight end is your most threatening player on your offense in today's NFL, you got some major issues. So I see it as roster construction. They got to get that part fixed to be able to compete. I don't think it's just about plays being called. I don't think it's all Mac Jones. I think there's enough blame to go around here.
Oh, we will get you out of here on this. The 49ers are 5-0. Brock Purdy's teammates, and Brock Purdy's been great, they have likened him to a robot because of his consistency, his repetition. As part of an offensive line unit, what did you look for in terms of consistency from a quarterback?
Oh, yeah, process and timing. Those are the things that matter. Like people, when people talk about what do you want to see in a young quarterback, I want him to process it. So when the ball is snapped, I want him to know my eyes are here. I'm looking at that player. I'm looking at this coverage. I'm getting to my depth, whatever it is, 3, 5, 7, whatever the step is. And now I'm set. That's the process. Now it's timing. When is the route coming open? Is it the first window, the second window? Who are we trying to take advantage of? Know the player we're trying to take advantage of and then go make that play. If you watch Purdy, this guy is, his timing is impeccable. It's like the ball is always coming out. If he has to slide over to buy that extra second, step up in the pocket, kind of find time there, he makes the throws. If he's got to get out of the pocket and roll, he still makes the throws. He finds it, and then obviously their receivers and their running back are some of the best in the league, and they are making plays for him. But don't discredit. Like, people call him like a game manager, whatever that means anyway. But at the end of the day, in big moments, this guy is making big-time throws. That's why his teammates love them, and that's why they're winning the way they are.
Thank you, Jeff. That's really
Jeff,
good. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Great seeing y'all.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, will the Orioles stay alive or will they get swept tonight?
And Victor Wembanyama faces Chet Holmgren in a matchup we're probably going to see for years and years to come. I know it's early for you, Tony, but it ain't early for some of us.
Right. It's really different to hear an offensive lineman talk about
the whole game. Jeff gives you a perspective. There's so many talking quarterbacks.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 33rd birthday, Geno Smith. When the Seattle Seahawks traded Russell Wilson to Denver before last season, they turned to the reclamation of Geno Smith. Smith had failed with the Jets, did nothing with the Giants and Chargers. Smith had been on the Seattle roster but rarely played. Suddenly, he was a playoff quarterback. He was named Comeback Player of the Year after posting career numbers in completion percentage, 70, passing touchdowns, 30, and passing yardage. Smith made the Pro Bowl. He has posted fine numbers through the first four games this season, completing 68% of his passes, with 5 touchdowns and 1 interception. He's the 10th rated quarterback in the league, and the Seahawks are 3-1.
Tony, it speaks to several things, but I think most notably, coaching and stick-to-itiveness. I mean, the situation worked the way he's being coached in Seattle by that staff after whatever failures, but also him. He got better. Late blooming is not, you know, it's not an embarrassing thing. People act like you got to be great at 21. Not everybody is. Good for Geno Smith. It's a great story.
Happy anniversary, Marcus Allen. On this day, 42 years ago, the great USC running back rushed for his 5th straight 200-yard game. That's a college record Allen still shares with 2 others. Allen had 8 games over 200 yards in 1981, still the record. His 2,342 yards, his 22 touchdowns got him the Heisman. Allen was one of the great USC backs that got the school nicknamed Tailback U. Others in that stratosphere included O.J. Simpson, Anthony Davis, Charles White, Ricky Bell, and Mike Garrett. Ugh. The last great USC tailback was Reggie Bush. Allen played for the Raiders and Chiefs in the NFL. He was on the 1983 Raiders Super Bowl team that beat Washington. Allen went for 191 yards and 2 touchdowns and was MVP of that game.
Tony, for my money, and I know Marcus Allen had a period where he was barely playing. He and Al Davis had this thing that kept him on the bench, which was insane. For my money, Marcus Allen, I'm trying to judge talent and impact here, not yards gained. Marcus Allen is one of the 10 greatest running backs of all time, and he might be higher than that up the list. You know what I mean? Suppose Marcus Allen had been properly utilized in those 4 or 5 seasons where he almost languished. One of the 10 greatest backs of all time.
Happy trails to last night's preseason game for the Spurs. Victor Wembanyama made his long-awaited exhibition debut last night in a 1-point loss to Oklahoma City. That doesn't matter at all. What may well matter is Wembanyama scored 20 points, grabbed 5 rebounds, blocked a shot, and hit 2 3-pointers in 19 minutes. Wembanyama shared the court with Oklahoma City's Chet Holmgren, who was last year's big man curiosity figure, before missing the whole season with a foot injury. Holmgren actually outdid Wembanyama statistically. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 1 block and 2 threes in 16 minutes. Excuse me, putting those two on the court together is sort of like Jack Hughes and Connor Bedard, right, Wilba?
Oh, why did the marketing people do that instead of Sidney Crosby? Holmgren, Tony, is going to have some impact fairly early. He's going to help Oklahoma City be a force in the West. I know there's a lot of teams ahead of them with more experience, but OKC's going to be good this year. You wait till the second half of the season, and Holmgren's going to be a big part of it.
Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Dolphins halfback Devon Achane will reportedly miss several weeks with a knee injury. That's significant, right?
Yes. He averages 12 yards a carry and is 2nd in rushing. Yes, that's significant. Patriots offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien says he expects Mac Jones to start against the Raiders Sunday. Does that surprise you?
No, what will surprise me is if he finishes, because the last 2 games he hasn't been allowed to finish.
Yeah.
The annual NBA GM survey has the Celtics and Nuggets as the teams to beat. Do you agree with that?
I do, Tony, but the Nuggets have such a hard road. I mean, the West, I mean, seriously? They got like 13 playoff teams in the West. It's so good. The Saudi Tour's application to receive world rankings points was denied. Your thoughts?
Totally predictable. 54 holes is not golf. It's not. Last one, Orioles at Rangers, game 3 tonight. Will the O's stay alive?
Tony, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Dean Kramer, particularly with what he's facing in this start, win this game for the Orioles. But Nathan Eovaldi's doing well again. I think not.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. 13 playoff teams in the West,
well,
huh? Really?
You know,
13?
I exaggerated
really?
A little bit.
Okay.
I'm Mike Wilbon. We're back on ESPN1 tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. The point is, the West is loaded. The East, not so much.
Let's just start the playoffs next week with all 13 teams.